Well, good morning. I'm going to do something a little different this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. Thankful for your word and all of its facets, for its coming and its going and its moving in and through us. We know that you send out the Spirit of God that moves throughout all the earth. We invite you this morning to move in our midst. Thank you for these precious ones that are here today. Minister to all of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I was thinking, well, I wonder what I should deal with. And then when I was asleep, I wake up partway sometimes. I really felt the Spirit of God say to me, I want you to review what has gone on this year. And every new year, when it comes around, as it's already been mentioned, we make these promises. I'm going to change this, or I'm going to change that. New Year's resolutions. I looked it up on my Google. Said only 9% of people that make a resolution actually keep it. 23% drop it by the end of the first week. 43% drop it by the end of the first month. And a few others hang on later, but it's only about 9% that actually are successful. And there's a number of reasons for it that I'm not going to get into. Part of it's because within us we say, I'm going to do it. We can't do it. We need the abidance and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to overcome. Many of you have overcome a lot of things this year. How many have... There's something that you can say you've overcome. Amen. Absolutely. But we're looking forward to more in the coming year. God, work in and through me this coming year. Continue to work line upon line, line upon line, precept on precept, precept on precept. Here a little and there a little, and help me to be patient because I want it all right now. But God is working in your midst. This morning what I want to do is spend some time of remembrance. You know, if we're wanting more of God in this coming year and saying, Lord, do more, expose more, help me to grow more, I would have to ask myself, have I been faithful with what I've been given this past year? Did I respond when the word of the Lord came forth, and have I been able to implement these things in my life as far as I can do, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome, to learn more, to understand more, to walk in greater wisdom. So this morning, I have picked, I can't preach the whole sermon the past year. And I can't preach the whole sermons. I figured if I give each one of these 20 minutes, we'd be here for an hour and a half. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to hit a highlight, particularly as it ministered to me. But I want you to think, and I'm going to go through this relatively quick, so you're going to have to do some chewing on your own. I'm going to start with Corey. Yay, Corey. He spoke a sermon from Mark chapter 7 concerning the demoniac daughter. Now, to set this up, the first part of the chapter, the Pharisees, who were just an arrogant bunch of blowhards, they saw some of Jesus' disciples eating, and they hadn't washed their hands, and they were eating with not so nice people. They were just fine people. It's just that the Pharisees looked down on them. They thought they were defiled. They found fault with them. Then Jesus went into a dissertation concerning, and he's saying, it's not what goes in, because whatever comes in, it just goes back out. But it's what's inside of you that comes out this way is what's important. This is a good chapter. It's got several really good and meaningful things in it. It says, because the heart of man can be full of murderers and adulteries and lying and theft and steal and bearing a false witness. That's what comes out of people that aren't motivated by the Holy Spirit. It's contrary to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And after he got done with them, because the disciples said, well, what are you trying to deal with these Pharisees? And so he pulled them aside and he explained it all. Then he went to this house. This would be Mark 27, verses 24. And I want to read this little section. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not hide. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. She heard of him. There was a time in our lives when we heard something. Some people's ears are open. Some are closed. They don't want to hear. To those that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The woman was a Greek. Oh, my goodness. Of all things. That's one count against her. A Syrophoenician by nation. Another count against her. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her child. She had no right to ask him, being a Jew, because she was a dog in society. Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. He's referring to the Jews. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, but yet the dogs under the table eat of the crumbs. Said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, and the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come into her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now this woman knew for sure who she knew her status in life. She knew how she fit into hierarchy. But yet she approached Jesus. How many of you didn't feel worthy? None of us were worthy. All of and any kind of our righteousness was as filthy rags when we have to approach unto him. But she would not give up. Corey used the example of knocking on a door. Said sometimes they have to go to a house, if there's a problem inside, knock on the door. And they may have to knock louder. And they have to knock louder. Eventually, they may have to break the door down to get in there, you know. If there's something in your life that you're needing to have happen, you just keep knocking. You keep pressing in. You keep asking. This is what I got out of this one. Okay, so we're going on. My sister was here, and she spoke concerning faithfulness. Oh, you know, we're in great need of faithfulness here. Not just for coming in the door, but faithfulness of being employed for no money. but faithfulness to commit time and resource to help with the establishment, help with the function of the church. And her example was out of Daniel chapter 6, I think, in verses 6 through 10. I'm just going to lay down the story here. And I just want to read verse 10. Basically, all the leaders in the area and those that had some kind of position, the presidents, as they called them, the princes, and those that had functions within the king's house were all jealous of Daniel because he was getting good treatment. Well, he was the only one there that wasn't a knucklehead. You know, the rest of them didn't have a clue as to what was going on. So they contrived a thing with the king so that it forbade anybody to pray unto anybody except for the king, knowing that Daniel was going to pray to his God. In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that this writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Regardless of what was going on in the world around him, regardless of the pressures that he felt and what he saw, he was going to be a man of faithfulness. He was going to continue to worship his God as he saw fit with all of his energy, all of his strength, regardless of all the craziness going on in the world, regardless of all the things going on, all the sin, all the debauchery, all of the frailties of man, all of the sin being exemplified out there in the world, he was going to serve his God. It's like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God's needing people that will be faithful unto him, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's going on in my life, and sometimes that's hard. We become overwhelmed sometimes with issues, with children. Everybody had trouble with children? Good grief. And you love them so much. And it's like they just want to stab pencils in your eyeballs or something, you know? They want to stomp on your feet, punch you in the face. This is both literal and spiritual parents and children. But regardless of what's going on, I'm going to serve the Lord. Regardless of the things that I felt in my body, oh, I had another attack again yesterday. I almost had to call Harley last night. Kidney flared up again. I said, you stinking thing. I came against that thing with the word of the Lord. I'm okay today as far as that goes. There's other things that are messed up, you know. Faithfulness. Harley, 2 different times he preached concerning love. You know, we can do a lot of stuff, and on the outward, we can look like we're getting something done, but if in here, it's not being done because of love, it's pretty worthless. It doesn't have its place. It's just an outward show of my arrogance and my ineptitude to be able to be used by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the very last verse is where we're going to start. Simply says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. This is Paul speaking. He says, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way. That's how he ends it. And then we go into the next chapter. Now he's going to expound on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read just a few verses here. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and if I don't have, I use King James, it says charity, I'll change it to love. That's what NIV and a lot of others use. And if I don't have any love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all kinds of mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no love, it doesn't profit anything. Because love suffers long. It hangs in there. Got anybody in your life? Sometimes you think, I'm not so sure I love them. They're not acting very lovely. They're being little creeps. Charity or love lasts or suffers long, and it's kind. Love doesn't envy or look at something else and say, boy, I wish I was like that, and why do they get to be that way, and I can't be that way. Yeah, 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 yeah. Love vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. Frank never has trouble with that. Love does not behave itself. I told him I was going to pick on him. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. And love doesn't think evil. And we sing that little song. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love. How many of you have grown in love this year? Oh, come on. I know some of you have. Some might still be struggling with some areas, but the Holy Spirit is where it comes from. In my flesh, love is just opposite to the nature of man. Oh, yeah, there's sexual desire and there's lust and whatever. That's not love. That's something else. I'm talking about when we stand by someone, when we are willing to speak into somebody's life to help somebody out when they're in need, and it's not convenient for me to do so. Show appreciation. Sometimes it just takes a word or two. I appreciate you. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of what's going on. I like seeing your face. I like hearing your voice. You minister unto me. Wow. Seth expounded and told us to just lay it all down. We try to carry burdens sometimes that we're just not designed or supposed to carry. But yet we do. And it's difficult because we become emotionally wrapped up in things, especially when it comes to family and those that we're close to. But we have to take it to the cross and be able to lay it down. Say, God, I can't do this, and it hurts me terrible, and I'm being torn apart inside, but I give it to you. And I lay it down at your feet because I know that you're the only one that can minister into my need and into the need of my family. And I give them to you. Satan, you're not going to have them. I claim them for the kingdom of God according to the power of the Holy Spirit that moves in and through me, because the scripture says that if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, then I can be renewed. And I need renewal in my body. I need renewal in my mind. I think some dirty, rotten, filthy things sometimes, Lord, but your Holy Spirit's going to help me to get through this. I reject it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to lay it down and leave it there. In John 4, chapter 23 through 25, this is the story of the woman at the well, and he says, but the hour comes and is now is. He says, it's even now when the true worshipers, how many want to be true worshipers? We want to worship him from our inner man, not just the outward excitement. Our body gets involved. Yes, we got to get, you know, some of us could get a little more excited than we do, like me. The hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the Father is seeking or looking for those kind of worshipers. We've come a long ways in our worship, in the way that we do as a function, as a body, as a congregation. We're ministering together unto the Lord. And that happens in many ways. It's not just during the music, all that, but worship is when you do talk to somebody. Worship is when you show active kindness. You're ministering to them, but you're also ministering unto the Lord. And you are worshiping in a different function. God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is going to come. Boy, she don't know she's standing right there with him, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. She knew what she was looking for. Do you know what you're looking for? Do you know what the source is? Sometimes we can listen to almost too many different sources, and things become, well, this is a technical term, miscombobulated within our mind. I want the truth of the Spirit. I want to hear the voice that comes forth and is willing to see growth and development within me. That's the heart of the Father. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you develop. That pleases him. We can't do it on our own, but we still have to be involved. If you used to go out and hang out at the bar on Saturday night, you got to quit doing that. There's going to be temptations there. You don't need to hang out with that old crowd. You got to find a new crowd to hang with. Like-minded. Those that have a common goal to serve Jesus and to be ordained towards the kingdom of God and to minister unto his likeness. Proverbs chapter 18, a couple verses here, says, a man's belly shall be satisfied. This is verse 20. With the fruit of his mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The increase, the development, a different nature of what I speak about and what I talk about. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Wow. I want to be chewing on the Word of God. I want to be chewing and eating that which will bring strength to my spiritual man. I don't need to be feeding on things of the world. I still want to know what's going on around me, but I don't feed on it. Fear can drive us. If we look at things out there, it's like, man, the world is nuts. But I don't have to be nuts. Because God didn't give us that kind of spirit, did he? Didn't give us that spirit of fear, but of power and a love and what kind of a mind? A sound mind, one that's got their act together. If you know you're having trouble with your mind, that's an issue you need to bring unto the Lord and allow him to bathe you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to heal me, Lord, in the places and the recesses of my mind, where I've been injured, where I've been hurt, where there's still sometimes scabs there. My relatives want to pick at my scabs. Heal me, Jesus. I think some of you relate to what I just said. Isn't it sad that the ones that are closest to us are the ones many times that want to pick at our scabs? I'm in the process, I'm trying to heal, and they're there trying to pick at these scabs. I rebuke those scab pickers in the name of Jesus. You filthy scab pickers, be gone. Get them saved, yes. Jesus, get a hold of their life like he did mine, like he did yours. And he won't let us go. My brother Steve, he admonished us and reminded us that God takes us as we are. You look at yourself and think, man, I'm worthless. Jesus loves you. He cares about every facet of our life. He knows our coming and our going. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. Doesn't matter what you've been involved in. He'll take you as you are. And he can begin a work in your life. We thankful that God has begun and is working out in our life. He took me. He brought me out of the miry clay and he put me on a rock. The rock of Jesus. He was willing to leave the 99 and look for that one wayward, naughty little sheep. He said to come unto me all of you that have burdens and you're heavy laden. You're under stress and I will give you rest. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? If God is for you, what does it matter what they think? God is for you. He's on your side. He's on my side. He's on our side. May come a time in our life where we'll be in that situation of the folks in China. He's still got his eye on us. He's got his eye on them. He knows them. He cares about them. And they care enough about him to commit his word to memory. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. All. There's none that he did not die for and shed his blood for. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things that are needful to us? Who shall lay any charge or come against any of God's elect? That's us. If God's the one that justifies, we have had the blood of Jesus shed to wash away our sins. We were sanctified and we were justified, and we're continually, every day, being sanctified. How many know you need to be sanctified every day? Because there's still things that happen. There's still things that crop up to the top. It's just like I used to pour a lot of lead for fishing lures and bullets and whatnot. And man, that scum had come up to the top. And I think, oh my goodness, that's me. You could never actually get all the scum out of that lead. No matter how many times you scrape the top to get rid of the dross, you get it all scraped and you bring it over here and you put it in another thing. By the time you come back, there was more. That's us. But I'm thank God that one day there's going to come a time where I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be as he is. I'm going to be changed into the image. We are being daily changed and motivated into the image of Jesus Christ. You need to be thankful for that. Saying, Lord, I might be frustrated and I don't like the speed at what it's going, but I am thankful that you're working in my life. I'm thankful that things are changing within me. We used to sing a song, little chorus, little by little, he's changing me. He's doing that. Line upon line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little. He's moving. By his Spirit, he's moving in all the earth. Who's the one that does the condemning? Yeah. It is Christ that died, yea, rather he's also risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He makes intercession for us. So when we feel insecure, insignificant, we know we don't have the strength and the power. He's like our heavenly attorney, and he is interceding. When the enemy comes before and tries to accuse us, the accuser of the brethren, Jesus is there, and he is our heavenly defender. And he says, not so fast, my blood. Satan hates the blood. Harley tells a story about the guy in the Ouija board, you know. Well, that's that board about the blood of Jesus. Them demons don't want to hear about that. They can't like that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? How about tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword in the form of death or hurt or maim? None of that can separate us from the love of God. We're secure in Jesus. He's ever present with us. Pages want to stick together. And again, I'm just doing some highlights from these things and some things that spoke to me. Brother Brian spoke to us from 8th chapter of Romans. Wow. This chapter is just full of stuff that we need to really have working in and through us. I mean, all of these concepts, all of these ideas, to get them working in our life, to get it beyond the works of my flesh, and to get them functioning and working in my life. Because I want more of Jesus this coming year. But how can I ask him of that if I haven't implemented what I've already learned and heard and what has been spoke to me? He's faithful. He will bring. There's some things that are going to get repeated. I know they are, because as I was looking through stuff, I thought, boy, there are some things that some people need to hear time and time and time again, because they're just so powerful. And if it doesn't get through the thick skull the first time, maybe it will the second or the third or the fourth. It's got to get through more than just here and down into the heart so that it comes out through the mouth, speaking forth the oracles of God. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In some ways, there's threads going through all of these. There's connectors going through them. Because the Holy Spirit has been wanting to speak into our lives and minister to us the things that are on the heart of God concerning us. For the expectation of that creature, of us, it waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to be a son of God. But yet that creature was made subject to vanity, to arrogance, to pride, not willing but by reason of him who has subjected to the same in hope. This is some hard stuff here. You see, when man fell, he was walking with God. He had a daily relationship directly with God. God came down and walked with them in the cool of the day. But sin brought division. It caused mankind to be an enemy of God, in that the sinful nature of man is enmity. For if when we were enemies, we were then reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We are brought back into a right relationship with him because of the cross. Wow. This creature is also going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Some days I so want to be delivered out of the bondage of this. I so want to be with Jesus. I so want to see him as he is. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together, even until now. It's not just us. The whole earth is messed up. Mankind has messed a lot of things up. I want to see what this area right here looked like 1,000 years ago. I want to see some big old trees. Not just 2 or 3 or 10 like they have at the Lester. I want to see full bloom of the majesty that God created before man came in and decided, ooh, let's cut them all down. God said to have dominion over, not rape over, his creation. One requires responsibility. The other one says, I'm going to take all I can get. These rocks can do it. I know that they can. They can scream out and say, Thou art the Son of God. You have created me. But he don't want that relationship with that old rock. He wants that relationship with you. He wants that relationship with me. Some days I feel like a dumb old rock. <You know? laughs> As that old country song, I'm just an old lump of coal. But you know what? One day we're going to become a diamond. Chemically, there's nothing different between coal and a diamond. It's just that the diamond has had a lot more pressure put upon it. It has been conformed through time and pressure. Change coal into a diamond. You think, I don't like this pressure in my life. God's trying to make a diamond out of you. God's trying to make something beautiful out of your life. I might even get this done. I want to skip down to verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. And the one that searches the hearts knows what is the mind, the attitude, the desire of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to not their own lusts and desires, but according to the will of the Father of God. Thankful for that? So if you wake up in the night and you're doing some groaning, that's okay. Unless you're in pain. It's a different story. But I want to see more and more of us wake up in the night and have a song that's there. And to be groaning in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, I need you. I want you. Lord, I'm going to lay all this mess aside, and I'm going to do what you say to do. There's a piece on the internet that I go to occasionally. I want to hear these guys sing. And I don't know their names, but one of them is one of the blind men from Alabama. And says, I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I changed some of the words. I tried drinking. I tried drugging. I tried everything under the sun. But now I'm going to do what the Lord say do. I'm gonna do what the Lord say do. I'm gonna do what the Lord say do. I tried chewing. I tried spitting. I tried everything under the sun. But now I'm going to do what the Lord say do. There's way more to it. Maybe someday I'll sing the whole thing. You ready to give up all of that? We have to get this attitude, a change in the mind. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind that I'm going to do what the Lord say do. When Brother Johnny Mortimer was here, that was a good word. How many may remember? He might. What am I saying to you this morning? Do what the Lord say you do, yeah. I just take a few little notes. I put down the name of the person. This is in my phone. You see me fiddling with my phone, this is what I'm doing probably. Put down the date, who it was, what the scripture was, maybe the main idea, whatever. Then I can go back at any time and I can look some of that stuff up. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring me back to that place and those things. I know there's a few of you here that actually take some physical notes on paper. However you do it, you need to do it. Lord, am I in line? I've been taught some things, but am I actually doing it? Am I feeling it? Is it working its way through my life? Or was I just sitting there wanting to feel good for the day? Looking for some yummies to chew on. Brother Johnny, I'm going to shorten this right down. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, original purpose. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. That doesn't mean to kill them all. It means to have dominion over them, to take care of them, to work with them. Yeah, you might need to eat some, but, you know, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God's intent, he wanted to make something that was in his image, something that he could call his people. Are you a people of God this morning? We need to understand and to see ourselves as the people of God. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, this is concerning the bondage of Egypt. He says, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I bring you out from under the bondage of alcoholism, from drugs, from pornography, from lying, cheating, stealing, bearing false witness, being just in general really, really naughty. It's out. But when the word of the Lord comes unto us, we have a responsibility to get in line and do what we can do. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, this is the last one from this group. And be not conformed, a lot of you know this one, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Johnny was telling us that Wednesday evening that we are to be a people of God. We can search the world all over, but we're not going to find what Jesus can give. There's no other. Buddha don't got it. Hindi don't got it.
Krishna don't got it. Muhammad definitely don't got it. Jesus is the answer. No man comes unto the Father but by me, he said. We look unto him as the author and the finisher of our faith, of all of what we are and ever hope to be. We give it all to him. Amen and amen. Anybody get anything out of that? It was different. And at the time, I am sure that each of you heard different things that came out when the word was spoken. But the thing to know and to understand that whenever one of these men of God is up here, they're trying to present you. They're trying to challenge you. They're trying to encourage you. They're trying to lift you up in Jesus. Because he cares about all the recesses. I got the word right that time, didn't I? Cares about all the recesses of your life. All of the nooks and crannies that you're not even aware of yet, that there's still a problem there. He wants to minister to you. Amen. And we do look forward to this next year, because God is going to continue working by his Spirit. He's going to continue to minister into each and every one of our lives if we have the ears to hear, if we have the eyes to see. He's going to do it. We need to look forward, because I want to see. I've got my own personal things I would like to see for this body of Christ. Amen. Let's stand together. We get some good words here. There's not very many churches like this. They're out there. There's some like that that really share the word and share the responsibility of bringing the word of God. But, man, there's some that they're so tight. But we're blessed in that way. And there's others that have shared, you know, like on Bible nights, Bible scripture nights and stuff. I was going to put a couple of them in here, and I just knew I wasn't going to have time to deal with it. I was really blessed the night that Brother Vince shared concerning the fear of the Lord. That's good stuff. And all of you have things to share and to minister and to give out. We look forward to that in the name of Jesus. Father, we do thank you again for this day. We're thankful for what you have done in us and among us and through us in this past year. But we do look forward to more this next year, Lord. We want to be obedient servants unto you and to take unto ourselves and to act on the many things that has been shared with us in this assembly, Lord. We're thankful for the moving of the Holy Spirit and how it has worked in and through our lives. We will look forward to more, Lord. We want more of you. We're not satisfied being in the place that we're in. But we know that we need more of you, Jesus. Much more of you, Jesus. Bless these folks as only you can do. In your precious name, amen. And they all said, amen. Go thy way.